Chapter 3. They don't have sex that night. Hell, they don't even have sex the next day. In fact, it's 3 days exactly until either of them mention that morning in the kitchen again. It starts because of Luffy, as most things do. The thing is, Luffy and Zoro have always been close. Like, weirdly close. They've known each other the longest, which makes sense. But in the freaky way that they effortlessly manage to read each other's minds about everything is disconcerting. On top of that, Zoro seems to have no sense of personal space when it comes to Luffy. Even when it comes to snuggles from choppers, Zoro has some limits to what he's willing to tolerate. But Luffy? It's like Zoro just can't say no. They have this level of casual intimacy that leaves Sanji with an unsettled feeling on the best of days. So what if Zoro is usually the one to accompany Luffy to the bath to make sure that the rubber idiot doesn't drown? So what if Zoro lets Luffy nap on his shoulder a few days a week? So what if Luffy is allowed to touch? Sanji's not jealous. He's not. So when Sanji comes out onto the deck for a smoke after cleaning up that day's lunch and sees Luffy draped over Zoro's back, head drowsily lolling over Zoro's shoulder, while one of his rubbery hands snakes around to tug on one of Zoro's nipple rings, Sanji doesn't freak out. He has a completely proportionate reaction. His feast bursts into flames where he stands, charring the grass on the sunny. "Cook, bro!" Franky admonishes, but Sanji can barely hear him. Zoro swats Luffy's hand away like the captain is a pesky fly. He looks mad, but resigned at the same time. Sanji's blood boils. Luffy giggles when he tries to do it again, and Zoro unceremoniously dumps him flat onto his back without a moment's hesitation. "Aw, Zoro, mean!" Luffy whines. Sanji turns on his flaming heel and stalks right back into the cabin. He's not jealous. He's not. Sanji, you're kind of on fire? Usopp helpfully comments, glancing up from whatever it is he's tinkering with on the sofa. Yeah, I got that. Thanks, Sanji snipes back, pacing and leaving grooves in the floor as he goes. Zoro again? Usopp asks. What about the Marimo? Usopp looks at him like he's the fucking stupid one here. You've just been, you know, irritable around him the past few days is all. No, Sanji feels a headache coming on. No, I haven't. You kinda have, though. Sanji shoots him a glare that could melt ice. Usopp laughs nervously. Ha ha, what I meant to say was that you seem extra, pent up lately. I seem what? Sanji can't hardly ever remember being this fucking pissed before. Nothing, nothing. Forget I said anything at all. Usopp begs, leaping to his feet and scrambling out of the men's cabin like he's getting paid to vacate the space. I'm not jealous, Sanji thinks, scathingly. I'm not. Before he fully flees the scene, Usopp pauses in the doorway. He swallows hard. You know, Sanji, if there's something you had to tell us, the crew, I mean, you know we wouldn't judge you, no matter what, right? For all that Usopp is a coward, he has become so brave over these past 2 years. Before the shock sets in, Sanji feels proud of him. Usopp would never have been brave enough to say something like that to him before. Before Sanji can process or reply, Usopp is gone. They know, Sanji whispers to no one but himself. His hands do not shake when he lights a cigarette. Are you jealous of Luffy? Zoro corners him in the kitchen to ask after dinner. Sanji drops a plate and has to scramble to catch it before it shatters into 1,000 fucking pieces. Like his goddamn composure. Everyone on this ship is intolerable, he decides. Get lost, shrubhead. Zoro's leaning against the counter beside Sanji, watching him with a keen eye.
I didn't forget about what I said, cook.
No, I sure have, Sanji practically hisses at him. No, you haven't, that evil voice in his head chimes in. You've jacked off to it for the past 3 days and dreamed about it every night. That's hardly forgetting it.
Uh-huh, Zoro says, very pointedly, not moving at all.
I said get lost. He turns to yell, but Zoro's face is just, well, it's just right there and, fuck it. Sanji touches his face, turns it this way and that. Zoro's mouth parts as if he's going to say something, and remains that way. Sanji gulps, slides his thumb across Zoro's bottom lip, presses it slowly into his mouth. Zoro's one eye goes foggy. The dilation of his pupil hits Sanji like a punch to the gut, and he tips his head, allowing Sanji to slip his finger in, pressing down on the metal ball lodged in the middle of Zoro's tongue. While maintaining eye contact, Zoro slowly closes his lips around Sanji's thumb. He sucks. Shit, Sanji whispers. Zoro smiles like he does on the battlefield, all teeth and bloodlust in the name of terror itself. It has no right to be as attractive as it is. They meet in the men's bunk room later that night, while the rest of the crew is up on deck watching Frankie and Brooke perform a duet. At the rate the two were going, it's our super six-part adventure ballad! They had some time. But, by the way, Zoro grabs Sanji by the hips as soon as they're through the door and starts manhandling him around. You'd think they have no time at all. They collapse on top of the couch, Zoro maneuvering Sanji into his lap, and get each other off with sweaty palms, too pent up for anything else. Sanji slides to the floor between Zoro's splayed legs and finally, blessedly, gets his hands on those fucking piercings. He hooks a finger through the first nipple piercing, the one that started it all so many months ago. Over 2 years ago, fuck. And pulls. Zoro's hips shudder up, bumping into nothing, chasing a friction that isn't there. He grumbles low in his throat. Fuck, Sanji whispers, before he closes his mouth around the other shiny gold piercing. He closes his lips tight around it, feels the cool contrast of the metal through the scalding hot flesh, and sucks. The sound Zoro makes can only be described as a growl. Sanji is nearly the hardest he's ever been by the time they get their hands on each other. He comes straddling Zoro's lap, Zoro's hand clenched tight around his leaking cock, his lips teasing his earrings. Zoro's beautiful, huge, fuck, dick in his free hand. He paints Zoro's chest with his cum and just barely has the wherewithal to return the favor, giving the other man a few skillful twists of his wrist before Zoro follows, tumbling into an orgasm that he rides out with a throaty moan. Laying together afterwards, sticky with sweat and reeking like sex, Zoro clasps Sanji's face between his hands and brings their lips together in a bruising kiss. It's the best kiss Sanji has ever had. He leans into it, boneless, sated, and content. Sanji absolutely cannot afford to fuck this up. Not only is the sex actually fucking amazing, the best of his life, no doubt, he might actually start to be developing feelings for the bastard. Not that he would admit that, even under pain of death, but the fact is, he's goddamn enjoying himself. The sneaking around and the accompanying stress of that aside, fooling around with Zoro is, it's good. The casual intimacy with Zoro, it's good. The kitchen will be empty after a meal, yet Zoro will linger. He'll stay until everyone else has cleared out, just so he can brush a smoldering kiss against Sanji's lips. It makes him shiver all over,
from head to toe. They'll switch off on a watch shift, and Sanchi will bring him a special drink or snack, something only for Zoro. And he'll give him one of those secret, warm smiles that's all simple affection and no posturing or pretending at all. Things are good. And Sanji's got to keep it that way. If Zoro, God, if anyone were to find out what Sanji is, everything would be over. He can't afford to lose what he's only just got. They dock at a small yet bustling port town. It reminds Sanji a little of Water 7, but without the sheer sprawl and majesty. The crew splits up once they arrive. Frankie and Brooke offer to stay back and watch the sunny. We're working on the sequel to our super adventure ballad. Zoro, Luffy, Chopper, and Nami head out to explore. If I don't come with you three, Nami had growled, we will probably be chased off this island by a goddamn mob. Just one peaceful trip into town, is that too much to ask? While Robin had approached Sanji and specifically asked if she could accompany him to the town's market. I'm interested in exploring what this island has to offer, his beloved archaeologist had explained, donning a wide-brimmed hat to protect against the glare of the sun on the spring island. Of course, Melorine. I'd be delighted to have your company. But, in addition, Sanji had a plan. Usopp? Sanji calls out, halting him in his tracks where he was following after Luffy and Chopper. Yeah? You're coming with us, Sanji says. But you're coming, Sanji enunciates clearly and forcefully, with us. As much as Sanji would relish some quality time with Robin, he's got to find out exactly what Usopp thinks he knows. Robin ducks into a bookstore off the main drag of the town's marketplace, leaving Sanji and a nervous, jittery Usopp to their devices. Just as Sanji's trying to figure out a way to bring this up. So, Usopp, how did you find out that I'm a freak? Sanji sees it. In the window of a little boutique is a beautiful sheer robe. It's thin and made out of nearly translucent fabric, dark blue with abstract sweeps of color, almost like flower petals, streaked across the surface. It has wide, flowing half sleeves and a certain undeniable grace to its design. Sanji falls hopelessly in love with it in an instant. He knows he's staring is the thing. He knows he's staring, but he can't look away. He's got a light blue, thin-strapped cocktail dress hidden away on the sunny that would go perfectly with the robe. The two paired with his favorite stiletto knee-high black boots. Sanji is practically shivering at the prospect. God, I'm such a fucking freak. Hey, Sanji? Usopp says. Sanji has to actively suppress the part of him that wants to jump in surprise. Not that I'm complaining, but, well, why did you bring me along? Usopp is fidgeting a little too nervously, reminding Sanji a lot of the skittish kid they met back in East Blue. Sanji feels a little sick about causing Usopp such worry, but, well, he's plenty worried too. Come on, Sanji says, and turns to lead the way away from the main path of the market. He locates a little coffee shop not far from the little boutique and snags them a small, secluded table near the exit. Usopp is downright shaking in his boots. Sanji pretends he's not shaking in his heels. He orders them both a drink that the little shop boasts is its pride and joy beverage, a honey and lavender latte, and braces himself for his life to come crashing down around him. Usopp, Sanji starts. He has to pause to take a deep breath. When you said, if I had something to tell the crew, none of you would judge me, what did you mean? Usopp titters. Well, I didn't mean anything in particular, I guess, he lies gracelessly. Usopp. He stops the babbling bullshit in his tracks. Sanji exhales on a shudder. How did you find out? Find out what? Sanji clenches his jaw so tight he thinks he's in danger of cracking his own teeth. About me. How did you find out about me? I saw you and Zoro in the kitchen that night, Usopp squeaks out in a rush. I didn't mean to barge in or eavesdrop, but I wanted to get a glass of water and Zoro was standing so close to you, and then you stuck your thumb in his mouth and there wasn't any, mistaking the way that the two of you looked at each other. I'm sorry for butting in, but you shouldn't have to hide something like that from the crew, you know? Sanji feels numb all over. Stark relief and sheer panic are warring between themselves in his brain. Part of Sanji is relieved that Usopp doesn't know the worst of it, doesn't know how depraved he really is. Part of him is in a blind panic about the fact that Usopp knows he fucks men, knows that he wants to fuck Zoro. Oh, Sanji says, like a complete idiot. Usopp continues to putter and apologize until Sanji gathers himself enough to interrupt. Usopp, he begins, hating how shaky and uneven his voice sounds, even to his own ears. It's okay, just maybe don't tell anyone else, he offers. Oh, well, Luffy knows, I think. I can never really tell with him. You know how he is. But of course I won't say anything. No problem, man. Usopp feigns coolness, forcefully relaxing his posture, calming his demeanor. Sanji can't help, he flinches, just a bit, at man. It's been getting harder lately. He won't admit. The feeling of being lost in his own body, the feeling of disconnect between his soul and his brain. With every bro Frankie calls, every distinguishing comment between ladies and himself, even something as simple as distinguishing the two cabins by gender, something in Sanji cramps uncomfortably. You don't fit, the voice mocks, just as loud and unignorable each time. You don't fit either of those boxes, do you? Too masculine and brutish to be a woman, too feminine and emotional to be a real man. How long do you think until they find you out for what you really are? How long until they realize you're broken? Something that's sick and warped and so, so wrong, never fitting anywhere. How long until they realize you're just as much of an insatiable whore for cock as you are for any woman that pays you the time of day? How long until Zoro protests your non-answer about what you are? Are you a queer or aren't you? But we know the answer, don't we? Soon they will too. Sanji? Usopp sounds so fucking worried suddenly. And it takes his voice to bring Sanji back to himself. He comes back to his body just enough to realize how fast he's breathing, how uncomfortable the tightness in his chest and the cramping in his gut has become. He's sweating. He must think you're so gross, the voice comments. And that's it. Sanji's done. He stands so quickly that his knees bang the underside of the table. The two china cups of coffee clatter and decorate the tabletop with splashes. Sorry, I just realized I forgot something very important, is all. Sanji stutters, grasping desperately for the scattered pieces of his composure. And then he leaves. He buys the robe. He also buys a room at the local inn. But no one has to know about that. He feels sick, carefully shaving his legs that evening in the washroom of the inn. He feels sick about it, but he's not gonna stop. After he's done, Sanji doesn't put on stockings. The natural silky feel to his freshly shaved legs is too good to waste. In his quiet room for the evening, he slips into a pair of black lace panties and a matching corset. One of his more forgiving ones. Next comes the baby blue dress and the gorgeous newly acquired robe and his favorite black boots. Sanji pauses for a smoke and a drink before moving on to his makeup for the evening. Something deep inside him has settled into this costume he's slipped into. The thing inside him relaxed with every shik, shik of the razor gliding against the hairs of his legs. It's almost enough to settle the low boil of shame that curls hot and heavy in his throat. He's just poured a glass of red wine when he hears it. Gunfire. Cannon fire. Sanji rushes to the window and peels back the curtains. A man dressed unmistakably in a marine uniform, carrying a Denden Mushi, pauses at the mouth of the alley just visible from Sanji's window. Four more armed marines rush past him as he cries into the receiver. Straw Hat Luffy and his crew have been spotted. They're attempting to make an escape to the bay. Intercept them at all costs. Fuck. He changes in an instant, shoving his other clothes into the very bottom of his bag and taking off at a dead run down the stairs of the inn. Undoing the corset cost him valuable time, damn it. Time he doesn't really have at this juncture. So he elects to leave the shoes on for the time being. Sanji takes off towards the direction of the harbor, felling marines left and right. They're really ridiculously weak. It's clear they weren't expecting to run into any pirates of considerable strength on this island. He kicks one so hard that the stiletto heel punctures the poor fucker's lung. Another marine crumples when a particularly powerful kick collapses his sternum on impact. The heel of the shoe comes away dripping gore. It's kind of badass. On the upside, when Sanji's moving this fast and breaking all the bones in their bodies, no one can tell that he's wearing knee-high velvet stiletto boots with jeans and a fucking Hawaiian shirt. The fight is, overall, not that eventful. Blessedly, Sanji makes it back to the Sunny before the crew is driven off by marines. Sanji immediately sits down to disguise the added height his current shoe situation provides. At the first opportunity, he slips away and tucks his other clothes away in his locked chest safely, and switches out the blood-soaked heels for his usual. He's giddy with the thrill of a fight recently won as he ascends back up to the deck. Sanji! Luffy sees him and cries out, launching himself halfway across the deck. Sanji, I want to have a party! Yeah, party! Chopper squeals in the background. Sanji sighs. Really? Over such a small battle? Luffy pouts. But Sanji! Luffy whines, splaying himself flat across the deck with the force of his disappointment. I believe our captain has spoken, Cook-san. Robin offers, smiling like giving Sanji extra work is hilarious. It's okay. He can forgive her. Sanji can always forgive Robin. Sanji ends up making enough barbecue to feed a small town for a month. The mood on the ship is infectious, everyone riding high off of such an exciting day. Usopp, for his part, seems to have completely forgotten there was any tension between himself and Sanji, left over from their conversation earlier. He has all of his attention focused solely on protecting his meal from Luffy's wandering hands. And Zoro? Well, he keeps sending Sanji looks that can only mean one of two things. I want to fuck you into next week, or I'm going to strangle you to death with your own intestines. And Sanji's hoping for the former. The party has long since wound down, and Sanji stands alone in the kitchen, sorting through the mass of dishes he has to wash and humming a tune Frankie and Brooke had been singing all night long. He's just turned on the water when a pair of familiar arms wrap around his waist and lips start to burn a hot trail down his neck. Sanji hums and leans back into the hold. He can feel Zoro smirk against his skin. "What's this about?" Sanji murmurs, unwilling to break the comfortable bubble of silence that surrounds the two. "Everyone's asleep," Zoro offers, nipping slightly when his trail of kisses reaches Sanji's earlobe. "Oh?" Sanji twists in his hold. Somehow, he always ends up with his back against the counter, and Zoro boxing him in against it. He doesn't really mind. Zoro's chest burns hot against his own, even through their shirts. "Are you trying to seduce me, Marimo?" Zoro flushes and ducks his head so Sanji can't see. "Is it working?" he grumbles. Something in Sanji's chest, something predatory and hungry, purrs in contentment. He slides his own hand between the skin of Zoro's back and the fabric of his shirt, stroking along the ridges of his spine. You're dense, but you're not that dense. Sanji grinds his growing erection against the heat of Zoro's thigh. Zoro grunts and grinds back, nudging Sanji pleasurably up against the countertop. Sanji's got his other hand at Zoro's chest, and he takes full advantage of everything he learned the last time they did this. He tugs and pinches and rolls the piercing around in Zoro's nipple. With a gasp and a full-body shudder, Zoro succeeds in further crowding him against the counter. Stop that, Zoro growls, all the while sounding, by all accounts, like he would really rather Sanji continue doing it. Sanji chuckles and chases after his lips with his own. Kissing Zoro is definitely one of Sanji's favorite things. It falls easily within his top 10 most favorite activities, maybe even within the top 5. He loses himself for a bit in the slick slide of their lips and tongues and teeth. Before he knows it, Zoro's hands are fumbling his pants open and reaching past his boxers for a straining erection. Just as he's starting to get really revved up, Zoro pulls away and looks between them. Huh. You know that feeling when you jump into a really cold body of water and the cold comes on so fast that you go from pleasantly warm to objectively freezing in 2 seconds flat? Sanji's skin has turned to ice. His blood has stopped flowing. Panic may be a steady boil, but terror? Terror is fucking frostbite. I never changed out of the panties, Sanji realizes, as Zoro pulls back to look between them. Where he'd expected to find cotton, he's now got a handful of lace, sticky with Sanji's pre-cum. I never changed out of the panties, echoes around his brain uselessly. There just wasn't time. Terror is hypothermia. It takes him down hard. Between one breath and the next, well, metaphorically at least, Sanji has completely stopped breathing. He's pushed Zoro back with a knee to the gut. Completely caught off guard, Zoro stumbles backwards a few steps, giving Sanji space to frantically button up his pants. Sanji doesn't think he's ever moved so fucking fast in his entire life. Sanji, what the hell? Zoro starts, but doesn't get to finish. Sanji, scrambling for the door to the deck, realizes that Zoro will just follow, that the rest of the crew is probably asleep out there. And why run towards your executioners? Sanji turns tail, vaults over the countertop, and a bewildered but furious Zoro. Cook? What? But Sanji throws open the door to the pantry before Zoro can get there. The lockable, Luffy-proof, reinforced pantry that only he has the key to, and locks himself inside. Zoro pounds on the door. Sanji, what the fuck? He doesn't sound happy. Sanji's back hits the wall between a couple of barrels of uncooked rice. He slides down to the ground on legs that suddenly can't hold him anymore. His hands go to his head, and bunched up in his hair, feeling the weight of an iron helmet that isn't there, bearing down on his shoulders like so much phantom pain. There's panting and whimpering, like someone locked a beaten stray in the pantry. It takes Sanji a moment to realize those sounds are coming from him. I will break this door down, Zoro shouts. Sanji can hear him hitting the door. He says nothing. It's not that he's calling Zoro's bluff or anything. It's just that anything he could or would say is caught in his throat, stopped up like a chunk of gum. Either way, Zoro doesn't break the door down. Time passes differently when you're frozen with fear, Sanji decides. Between one moment and the next, or perhaps minutes, or even hours, Zoro is there, and then he's not. It doesn't matter. It does.